years of experience with step 10.
It's Mike.
Hi, I'm Buddy, and I'm an alcoholic.
Hey, Buddy.
I have experience with this process with the Big Book Step Study sponsor, and the grace of God, and a lot of meetings like this. I'm from Providence, Rhode Island. I was 4.5 years sober when I went to my first meeting in Attleboro. I had heard about these meetings when I was about a year sober outside a meeting at the smoke break in Providence like 20 years ago. And a friend of mine from Mass, he said, "Hey, buddy, I went to a real nice meeting the other night in Foxborough." I think he said it was Foxborough, Walpole, something like that. I said, "Yeah." He said, "Yeah, it was nice. It was different. It was a men's meeting. It was a Big Book meeting. Only certain people could speak, and you had to get one of them to be your sponsor." And, you know, a year and a half sober, I said, "What? You can't speak? You got to get one. F them freaks." And so I went along my way, merry way. I never missed a meeting for 4 years. You know, I just didn't, because my life got better pretty quick. I have 3 kids. I had 1 grandchild at the time. Now I have 4. My life got better really quick, so that's what I did. I didn't drink, and I went to meetings. 4.5 years sober. The day after my 4 years, I had surgery for cancer. That's when I missed some meetings. People would come to my house, put on meetings and stuff for my home group. It was a speaker meeting. And in a 4.5 years sober, my daughter-in-law called me up, and she said, "Bud Jr. took the money, me and the kids." He had 2 kids. "Me and the kids, we don't have nothing, you know, we're no food, no nothing, Bud." And I says, "All right, Jess, thanks." And in Providence, we had an infamous mayor, Buddy C. Yancey. I don't know if you ever heard of him, but my last name is Cronin, so it's Buddy C. And I was called the mayor of AA because Rhode Island's small. I was told to put my hand out to the newcomer, which I'm a people person, so that's what I did. Especially like a lot of young guys, you know, thinking like for my son and things like that. I put my hand out. So I was I was the mayor of AA. And my son shows up at the mayor of AA's door 3 days later after his, it was a crack run he went on. And I walked downstairs. I heard the door. I walked downstairs and I opened up the door and I looked at him. I said, "You piece of shit." And I slammed the door. And that's when my scorecard read 0, 4.5 years sober. You know, you hear about scorecards out there. I had plenty of lockups. I had all of the crap that goes with being out there. But the worst day of my life is 4.5 years sober. And that's what I said to my son. And what was worse was I didn't know why I said that until I did this process, thank God. And I've had angels in my path. And the woman who took me to my first meeting, she moved from Boston to Providence. And she's 77 years old. She was retired. She used to run a rehab up in Boston, I think in Roxbury, as the director of this facility for 25 years. And she had a master's degree in the field of alcoholism and drug addiction. And we went to this meeting, now 4.5 years late, the same meeting that I said, "F them freaks," a year and a half sober. Now God gives me another shot. And I go to this meeting, and my sponsor was chairman, and I asked him to take me through after the meeting. And she grabbed the sponsor that night. And we got through steps 1, 2, and 3 quick. He was a nice guy. He met me right at the border. You know what I mean? Like a McDonald's parking lot or something right off of 95. We did the reading and started writing. And we're going to that meeting every Wednesday night. I'm going to Norton every Saturday and any other meetings that I could go to. You know, because I loved them, you know. Actually, when I left the first meeting, I had such a huge resentment against the whole state of Rhode Island. And the longer they were sober, the more pissed off I was at them. I was like, "Them jerks." You know, that's not the word I used. Because I had never heard what I heard that one night. I had heard it before, dribs and drabs, maybe people speak at meetings, but not on the consistent basis like I heard it that night. And after like 6 months of going to these meetings, she says to me one night, she said, "You know something, Bud?" I said, "No, Peg, what's that?" She said, "You know, Bud, after listening to those people, I realized I know nothing about alcoholism." And I was like, "Oh, thank you, God." I knew I was doing the right thing. I was just writing because I was in a lot of pain. I had tried other ways. I won't even mention them, doing the steps. And like I said, that's what I got. So while I'm going to these meetings, my sponsor didn't tell me to do it, or he didn't tell me I couldn't do it. And even if he did, I'm not like that. I was having somebody to help me. I was looking for a life coach. And so I heard people say they were reading 84 to 88 every day. So I tried it, and I liked it because step 10, it gave me, like, I surely couldn't do it. Although it sounded like a nice way to be able to live maybe someday. And so I read those. I read them for a long time, for about a year while I was writing anyway. And so when I'm reading it, it says, you know, like when these things are going to crop up, things I learned in my fourth step, resentment, dishonesty, selfish, dishonest, resentfulness and fear, they're going to crop up. And prior to coming to Big Book Step Study, whenever that stuff would crop up, all I heard, and God bless, you know, non-Big Book Step Study meetings, I'll be forever grateful for AA, I'm not trying to throw it under the bus, but all I ever heard was, if the shit hit the fan, did you call your sponsor? Did you call your sponsor? And then I read in the book, that's not what it says to do, you know, like we just read. It says we at once ask God to remove that feeling. And then it says, and then, you know, discuss it with someone. It doesn't say discuss it with your sponsor. And I was grateful that the guy who took me through the first night, he said, I'd be more than happy to, but this is not about me. This is about you and the God of your understanding. And he meant it, and I've been blessed to say that to anyone who's ever asked me for help. And he explained that to me. He said, now see what it says here, buddy. It says, you know, it doesn't say sponsor. It says someone. He said, so if you want to ask Dara or Ben or Greg, these guys from the Attleboro meeting, he said, by all means, you can. He said, I would only suggest that you ask somebody who's actually done this process, or otherwise you're just going to keep fishing around for the answer that you want. And so now I'm trying to live like this. I'm going to meetings. God had Peg and I start a meeting in Rhode Island, which was a really tough nut, you know what I mean? You know, people just resisted. But, you know, it went pretty strong for like 5 years. When we started it, Peg and I, we were still writing, so we couldn't speak, which was a good thing in hindsight, because all the people in Rhode Island, they could say, oh, just Buddy and all his Maslow friends, they're the only ones that could speak. It was good because I couldn't, and Peg couldn't either. But what, like Mike asked me the other night at Mattapoisett if I could come tonight. I said, you know, Mike, I got to be honest. When we started the meeting in Rhode Island like 16 years ago, there was like a 10 to a dozen people from Massachusetts. Some of them are here tonight that would go to that meeting in Cranston every Sunday night in the winter and everything. That's football night and everything. Far. Bobby B. had a whole bunch of people. And I said, there's nobody in Massachusetts that I would ever say no for. So this is like no big deal to come here tonight. I've always wanted to come here tonight. And to this meeting. So tonight, I'm glad that I made it. And So I'm going on a merry way. We started this meeting. I'm working with people, and I'm doing this the best I can. And after about 5 or 7 years of trying to do the best I can with this step on a daily basis, 10 and 11, and one day I'm painting inside a house. It was around Christmas time. The house was empty, and I was with my youngest daughter's boyfriend, Carlos. And I get a phone call from my youngest daughter. It said, Dad, Socorro, my other daughter, Socorro's in the hospital. Her boyfriend, Akbar, beat her up. There's blood all over the apartment, blah, blah, blah. And I says, all right, honey. I said, Carlos, wrap everything up. We got to go. And I went in a room. I got on my knees, and I said, you know, God, please help me. And I got up off my knees. I left God right there. I'm sure he followed me and just watching the show. And an hour later, I was in handcuffs behind bars. You know? And so that's what happens when I just, you know, say like I didn't want to ask God for help and, you know, don't actually do this 10th step. That's what I got. Honest to God, a year later, my youngest daughter, I hear the same thing happens to her, only there wasn't blood and stuff. And so I heard about like a couple of days after the fact, but this time I had time to actually do the 10th step. Where am I being selfish? I want the world to conform to my script pretty much, like, put your hands on anybody's daughter but mine. And, you know, that's, you know, crazy. And dishonest, what lies am I telling myself? I'm gonna hurt him, and he's a piece of this, piece of that. And then, thank God, because of this process, it says in the fourth step when I was writing, it says, these resentments must be mastered. See, I was told to look up words, definitely that I don't know. It might behoove me to look up words I think I know. So I think I know what masted means. Oh, yeah, that's, I see that at a red light, at the back of a van, master plumber. That means a guy really knows his shit. And I said, no, I looked it up, thank God. And it just simply says, understood perfectly. So I had to understand, you know, how I operate perfectly so I could do this without not having to run into a bathroom somewhere and getting on my knees and all that stuff. It could happen on 95, 195, and it could happen like that second call with my daughter. And this time I actually answered the questions. And then when I got to after the lies for dishonest, what's the truth? And the truth is my daughter shouldn't have been smoking weed. She shouldn't have had them clowns in her house. She shouldn't have spit at him, which I heard that she did. And the truth is I can't be getting locked up every time one of my adult daughters makes an adult decision. And, you know, so my experience with this step, it's it's only four paragraphs, you know, so there's not a lot there. But, you know, like love and tolerance is our code. I like in this reading where it says, for by this time we'll be restored to sanity. The thought of liquor will be removed and things like that. Will recoil from it as from a hot flame. So if you're new here or writing and stuff, I remember hearing many times people in meetings say, oh, man, I got seven. I got a cousin who's freaking 13 years old, but he still wants a glass of scotch every day. He doesn't do meetings. He went to a couple, heard God. He, you know, that's it. But, he, you know, he's the cousin, man. I could still go for a glass of scotch every day. And you know, earlier on, it tells us that, you know, what makes us different from the rest of the planet is we have this uncanny ability of forgetting the suffering and harm caused by my drinking as recently as a week or a month ago. And I took myself right back to getting out of intake with that one, making bail, you know, and so it's true. And then, but then it says, you know, we lack the defense that keeps one from putting their hand on a hot stove. So, you know, up here in the Northeast, we know, you know, we have radiators. You touch them. That's like the first thing an infant says or a toddler is hot. They say it hot before mommy or daddy. They touch that radiator, hot, hot, and they don't touch it again. But us, we lack that defense. And then tonight we read that now we have that defense. Well, how the hell we get that defense? Is the book contradicting itself? No. It's, you know, I wasn't restored to sanity in step two. By the time I got to step 10, there's a process or a solution. You know, the leveling of our, the self-searching, rather, the fourth step, the leveling of my pride, the fifth step, the confession, making amends. That's what the process requires for its successful, you know, consummation. And, you know, so I did those things as best I could with the man showing me the directions and praying to a God of my understanding. And so that's... it's a process. It's like you go to a meeting and you want a cup of coffee. You're the first guy there and the coffee's not ready. Well, how come? Well, because the red light ain't on. How come the red light ain't on? There's a process. You know, the coffee guy's got to get here. He's got to put the water in, the grinds. Got to plug it in. Turn it on. Let me get a coffee. No, it ain't done yet. Why? Because it's got to heat up. Then it's got to percolate. Let me get a coffee. No, you can't. It's still not done. Light goes on, oof, voila, right? Get the coffee. When it's done, the process. That's the same thing it is with this. You know, my experience, I can't say it saddens me. It is what it is. I know I'm just blessed that God led me to Big Book Step Study. I'm totally blessed that there were none of these meetings in Rhode Island. He led me to Massachusetts. I always work in Mass. I always got along good with Mass people. But I just consider my blessed that I have a shot. Into step 10, you know, I have experience not doing it, getting locked up. I don't know how many years on the other side of my fifth step I was, 7 or 8. Now, I'm not bragging about that. I don't think it's cool to get locked up, by no means. I was just like behind bars, and I'm like, what the frig? And, you know, so he gave me a good lesson that this really ain't about drinking no more. It's about my thinking. So if you're writing, I hope you keep writing. And, if you're new to this meeting, a couple people said they were. These meetings changed my life, and it just enabled me to be the dad that he gave me the innate ability to be, not my brothers and my sisters who had to pick up the slack for their clown brother. You know what I mean? He gave me the innate ability to be a grandfather. You know, three of my grandkids have never seen me drink. It's just just a good way of life. So I don't want to babble. I really want to hear you guys. So that's my experience.
Okay.
Thank you, buddy.
Need to reread this. If you have completed step 5 out of the Big Book, I have experience with the